as a flash. Time to wind up your mind with Hell Bros. The makers of Hell Bros watches, H-E-L-B-R-O-S, Hell Bros, the correct watch for the correct time, present Quick as a Flash, the lightning-fast dramatized quiz starring Ken Roberts. And as guest detective for today, one of Hollywood's brightest young stars, Miss Martha Vickers, with Ray Block and the Hell Bros Orchestra. And here to get the program moving with the speed of lightning is our presiding officer, Ken Roberts.
Well, thank you, Star Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are again, asking you to see if you can really act quick as a flash. Six contestants from our studio audience are going to match wits against each other. They'll try to see how quickly they can get the answers to our series of dramatic puzzles, today worth over $800. And you folks at home, you can play quick as a flash, too, by trying to beat our contestants to the answers. In our first puzzle of the day, worth $21 from Hell Bros, we're going to tell you the story of an event to which we all looked forward with bated breath. As soon as any of our six contestants know it, they'll stop the description by pressing on a buzzer like this. The one who was first with the correct answer wins. But they'll have only one chance in each race. On your mark now, let's see who's going to act quick as a flash as soon as they know this famous event.
It's over at last. Yes, today, 12 before the Ides of March, the enemy has been contacted and beaten on a narrow strip. Surrender. Surrender came only after a terrible blow, in which the enemy's headquarters was completely smashed to bits. Until the very end, the forces of good were hard-pressed. Those who followed the struggle day after day knew in their hearts that victory must come. But no one dared predict the fearful toll, the casualty lists that might pile up on that famous strip before the enemy's strength was shattered. For everyone who read the news realized this enemy being faced was one of enormous power, one who exerted almost superhuman mastery over all with whom he came in contact. In the dead of winter, there was only a slim chance of stopping him. But stopped he was after a grim face-to-face battle of the wills. This time there was no lane he could take for any amount of money, no heart of flint to help him.
Without lightning strikes first this afternoon in front of Nancy Graham, who wants to try for this answer. What is your answer, Nancy Graham?
Was that Dick Tracy capturing employees?
It certainly was, Nancy Graham, and your prize in Hell Bros is $21. Yes, Nancy Graham, Quick as a Flash has just presented the stirring saga of the greatest manhunt in history when influence's influence was finally ended. And, of course, you might have known when we spoke of a narrow strip, we were referring to the Dick Tracy comic strip. Well, Nancy Graham, what emotion swept through you at the news of Influence's capture?
Well, Dick Tracy always gets his man. I don't know. You mean today, just now, when they were dramatizing it?
No, I mean when you finally heard the news. I guess you were pretty
happy. I was all excited.
You were. There's no doubt that Dick Tracy certainly caught Influence. And now that he's mixed up with Misty Waters, let's hope he doesn't catch influenza. Nancy Graham, did you know before you came here today that our big mystery prize is worth $617?
I certainly did.
You did? Is that one of the reasons you came?
Well, kind of.
It is? Where'd you come from?
Well, right now, Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Well, it's nice to have you with us today, and I think the people would like to know that the reason the prize for today is so big is that for the first time since we've been on the air, our mystery has gone unsolved 4 weeks in a row. In any case, you just exerted enough influence to win $21, and you'll have a chance to play Dick Tracy yourself in the Hell Bros Derby at the end of today's program. Now for our next Quick as a Flash puzzle with a purse of $31 from Hell Bros. In this race, Ray Block and the orchestra are going to describe, through the medium of music, a very famous event in our nation's history. By putting together the titles of the following songs, you should be able to tell us what event this is for $31. standing slightly now in front of another of our contestants. That's George Blumenthal from here in New York City. And what event do you think this is, Mr. Blumenthal?
Would that be the Chicago Fire?
No, I'm sorry. It isn't the Chicago Fire, but that's a very good try. Somebody else wants to try at this very moment. That's Mrs. Mary Wasick. And what is your answer, Mrs. Wasick?
Would that be the San Francisco earthquake?
Yes, it would be the San Francisco earthquake, Mrs. Wasick. And Hellgross presents you with $31. Well, you were really rocking, Mrs. Wasick. How did you get your answer about the San Francisco earthquake? What songs did Ray Block play?
San Francisco.
San Francisco? Well, some other songs might have given it to you before then.
I wasn't too sure, and then I figured I'd wait a while.
Well, waited for the right moment, of course. You waited for the moment when you could win. The other songs we heard were Rock and Roll, Hello Frisco, Hello, and, of course, Hot Time and the Old Time Tonight. And I think you'll agree they do suggest the San Francisco earthquake, which, if you remember the MGM movie, was caused by Clark Gable.
I only saw it five times.
For whom? For Clark Gable?
No, for Jeanette McDonald. I like her.
You like her singing, do you?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to be able to sing? Like
oh,
that?
No, I can't sing a note.
You can't. What do you do, Mrs. Wasick?
Well, I'm an actress.
You're an actress, are you?
Yes, sir.
And where do you do your acting?
At the Sub-Bass Players in New London, Connecticut.
In New London, Connecticut? Well,
yes,
I certainly wish you a very, very successful career.
Thank
you. Just shook us loose from $31, and we're a step closer to our big mystery starring that lovely young motion picture star. You'll be interested in this, Mrs. Wasick. We do have a famous actress with us today, Martha Vickers. And, of course, we do want to welcome our other contestants on Quick as a Flash. Seated next to you is a very fine gentleman from East Orange, New Jersey, Russell Hanson. Then a little further over is Polly Johnson, who works for the Veterans Commission in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And our other contestant of the day is James Hughes. He's the sixth of our contestants, a young boy in the Army from Grove City, Pennsylvania. We want to wish each and every one of you a lot of luck, including, of course, George Blumenthal, our policeman from New York City. And I think that about does it. We've heard from everybody else. And now, Cy Harris, do you know that this is Girl Scout Week?
Yes, the 35th anniversary, Ken. And Hellbrose has a couple of questions that any good Girl Scout can answer like that. First, what is meant by the phrase, use a milestone?
This is Ken Roberts about to take you and our six contestants into our next Quick as a Flash contest worth $41 from Hellbrose. This time, we're going to test your knowledge of literature. Our storyteller will be a character from one of the most famous works of fiction ever written. What widely read work would you say this character was from? For $41.
They say fools will rush in where angels fear to tread. Well, I guess I'm no angel when I think how I got rushed in my heyday. Why, there wasn't a gentleman for miles around who didn't know me. But I guess I was stubborn as a mule, the way no man could ever budge me, except one. In the first chapter, I was his and only his. Maybe he didn't know it. All he'd have to do was call me and I'd come running. The only trouble was he never let me settle down anywhere. He made me chase around, especially after he got tied up with that certain famous character, the one who talked him into going out into the world to take up for the poor against the rich. From then on, between those two, I was almost rushed to death. All those night dates we went on, looking for fair ladies in distress to rescue. What for? I don't know.
Now, there's a flash of the streak of lightning in front of Mrs. Wasick again, and you're going to try and answer this how, Mrs. Wasick?
Would that be Robin Hood?
No, I'm sorry, it isn't Robin Hood, Mrs. Wasick. We have five guests still trying on Quick as a Flash, and we'll pick up our story where we had just heard the word, looking for fair ladies in distress to rescue.
What for? I don't know. They only got laughed at by the whole world once our little story was translated. And all I got out of the whole thing was corns from hoofing it all over Castile. And I don't mean soap, but...
And there's somebody else who wants to try. That's a white flash of lightning, which appears before George Blumenthal. And your answer, Mr. Blumenthal?
Would that be Don Quixote?
It certainly would be Don Quixote, Mr. Blumenthal. And you win a Hellbrose prize of $41. Your race, Mr. Blumenthal. Quick as a Flash has just brought us some of the scenes from that classic novel by Cervantes, Don Quixote. And, of course, might have been some listeners at home who got the answer before you did. Do you ever play Quick as a Flash at home?
Yes.
And,
frequently.
You frequently do? Do you manage to do as well as you've done so far today?
Well, at home, I win them mentally.
You win them mentally. You just don't get the $41 that you just won. Is that it? What do you call your home, Mr. Blumenthal?
I live in the Bronx in Parkchester.
And would you like to tell us what you do? I think everybody would like to know.
I'm a police officer in the city of New York.
Well, I think you're the first police officer from New York City we've ever had on our show. We're very happy and proud to have you with us today. As a police officer, do you think you could solve a personal mystery for me?
I could try. I smell a gag coming, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't think of it as a gag. I'm really... Where can I find a place to park?
That's a problem that every police officer has.
You have them too, eh? Well, I'm happy to hear the police officers have their own cars, at any rate. And of course, we'll have a chance to show how good a detective you are, in addition to a policeman, in just a few moments, when you'll have a chance to win $617 in our Hellbros Derby. Of course, I know our other guests will try to be quicker than you in our next race, our lucky race. For this time, Hellbros will pay the winner $51, plus a beautiful Hellbros original watch. In this special race, we're going to reconstruct our version of a conversation that might have taken place just before a famous event. Who was the leading figure in this event? For $51 and a Hellbros watch.
For those of you who may be interested in success stories, this was my system. A great poet named John Donne once wrote, "Never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." And I can testify to the truth of his observation. For the action of one affects the lives of us all. But I didn't realize this when I started on my conquest, nor what it could lead to. True, I had some small idea, but even my number two man thought I was overconfident.
I tell you, sir, you can't go on like this.
Why not?
Because the idea is crazy.
You dare say that to me?
Oh, I know of your triumphs in the past, but look at what you're taking on now. This new project of yours may ruin us all.
You're wrong, my friend.
All right, suppose you are successful. What will it mean?
It will mean a decided change in the way certain people live.
Is that to be desired?
I think so. That's what we call progress. Don't you see, if I can accomplish this task, someday in the not-too-distant future, I can join the neighboring country tour.
And where do you go from there?
There's no telling. Tomorrow it may be the whole world.
I tell you, it's impossible. Others have tried it before.
Yes, Watson. But they made a mistake in not using the direct
approach. There's the streak of lightning in front of one of our early winners. That's Mrs. Wasick trying again. And who do you say this is, Mrs. Wasick?
I think it's Alexander Graham Bell on the telephone.
It certainly is, Mrs. Wasick. That's a wonderful answer. And you win $51 and a Hellbros watch. Yes, Lucky Bell certainly told for you then, Mrs. Wasick. In honor of the 100th anniversary of the invention of the telephone, Quick as a Flash has just introduced the inventor, Alexander Graham Bell. What was the clue in our story that gave you the answer?
Watson? Watson was his partner.
Was his assistant, and you
That's
remembered
right.
that. Well, isn't that wonderful? Of course, when Alexander Bell said the neighboring country would be joined to his, he meant it would be by the new means of communication he had invented. And in our first words, we might have guessed it was Bell speaking of the telephone company he developed when he said, "This was my system." Well, Mrs. Wasick, what is your system for winning on Quick as a Flash? You've won two races so far and one watch. And I think we'd like to know how you do it.
My system?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Roberts, I've been listening to you for quite a number of years. As a matter of fact, I stay home every Sunday night just to listen to you.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't
stay home
tonight.
And all these stories, I take in the words. I notice the words that they say. So many a times I want to watch at home.
Well, today you really got that watch, and you got it remembering about the telephone. Have you ever been sorry that Don Ameche invented the telephone? Oh, it wasn't Don Ameche, was it? I always.
It was a beautiful picture, though.
Wasn't it a wonderful picture?
Sir.
I guess we all enjoy it. Do you admire his acting? I know you want to be an actor.
Don Ameche, yes, sir.
He certainly does a wonderful job. Well, you certainly rang the bell in time to win $51, and I guess you'll always be on time with that handsome Hellbros watch you've just won. Would you like to tell us what it looks like?
Oh, Mr. Roberts, it's so beautiful. It's a gold band with a white face and... Oh, it's so tiny and adorable. I just can't express it. I love it.
We're going to send Cy Harris home after that. I think you did a wonderful job. Of course, you do have every reason to be proud of that watch. You really won it. And when you show it to your friends, you can also point out that it's a wonderful Helbros original. Well, we come now to our big mystery race, the Helbros Derby, starring that lovely young star from Hollywood, Martha Vickers. Today's Derby carries with it a purse of $617 in cash. But first, Cy Harris, if I were to give you 49 cents. Now for our big race, the Helbros Derby. We've already quizzed our contestants on their ability to recognize famous events, books, and personalities, and now we test their powers of deduction. We do this in a mystery play in which we ask an outstanding guest to set the problem for us. Today we've invited one of Hollywood's brightest young stars. I'm sure you remember her as the younger sister of Lauren Bacall in The Big Sleep and as co-star with Dane Clark in Warner Brothers' That Way with Women. The contestant who first spots the clue which solves our mystery will be awarded $101 plus an additional $516 since the Derby has gone unsolved for the past 4 weeks. So that makes our total of $617 for today. And now, it is my great pleasure to introduce Miss Martha Vickers.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Ken Roberts.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you here, Martha, for a number of reasons. You know, you're one of the few women detectives we've ever had on Quick as a Flash.
I hope you won't be sorry for it, Ken.
There's no danger of that, but naturally I envy the killer in your story.
Why?
Well, with your looks, it ought to be a pleasure to be taken in by you. But suppose you tell us a little about the character you're going to play.
Well, I got the idea, Ken, when I played in The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart. Bogart always lands the guilty culprit, but he takes a terrible beating doing it, and it seemed to me there ought to be some way to get your man without working so hard, if you know what I mean.
I think I do, Martha. Ladies and gentlemen, Quick as a Flash presents Martha Vickers as Private Detective Phyllis Marlin in The Case of the Dangling Man.
It was exactly 2:30 p.m. on Friday afternoon when I first saw Arthur Lyon. He was my first client. Up to that time, New York seemed to be full of people who didn't need a woman private detective. So naturally, I was a little surprised when Mr. Lyon decided to give me the business.
You're probably wondering why I picked on you, Miss Marlin.
Now that you mention it, Mr. Lyons, I am.
Well, I feel this thing calls for a woman's touch. I want you to find a man named Albert Valentino.
Valentino?
That's right. I've got a proposition I want to put to him.
Why don't you approach him directly?
For two reasons. I don't know where he's located, and even if I did, I don't think he'd listen to me.
What makes you think I'd have better luck?
Couldn't have worse. Besides, Valentino fancies himself as a ladies' man, and you're the kind of gal who would interest him.
I don't see why.
Well, you're not sitting where I am. What do you say, Miss Martin?
All right, Mr. Lyons, I'll do my best. I suppose I should have suspected something then, for when I picked up the phone book, I found a listing for Albert Valentino. I couldn't see how Lyons could have overlooked it. Then I thought it might be the wrong party, so I decided to check.
Hello.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Albert Valentino, please.
Talking? Who's this?
You don't know me, Mr. Valentino. My name is Phyllis Marlin.
Phyllis? I met you at Roseland, maybe?
No, I'm a private detective. I represent a man named Arthur Lyon.
What?
He told me he had a proposition for you.
Don't believe him, Miss Marlin. He wants to kill me.
You're imagining things, Valentino.
No, I don't. He tried twice before. We had a fight over some girl.
What happened?
Well, I can't tell you over the phone. Suppose I meet you tonight at 9 at the Sherry Bar.
You're sure you'll be there?
Listen, baby, if you look anything like you sound, nothing could keep me away.
But Mr. Valentino was unduly optimistic because I waited several hours for him at the Sherry. When he didn't show up by then, on a hunt, I called police headquarters. I was right. I was invited to put in an appearance at the morgue. There I was introduced to Sergeant Peter Haywood. It was obvious the sergeant didn't approve of women detectives. If he thought the thing to do was shock me out of the business, he almost succeeded when he lifted the sheet off the body of Albert Valentino. It wasn't nice. There was blood all over his coat and trousers, and his head looked as if he had tried to ram it against a wall.
Pretty, isn't it, Miss Marlin?
That all depends on your taste, Sergeant. How long was he dead when you found him?
About 3 hours.
He must have suffered a great deal.
Oh, the doc says death was instantaneous. Seen enough?
I think so.
Now, Miss Marlin, what was your connection with Valentino?
I had a date to meet him tonight at 9.
At which time he was dead almost an hour. What was the reason for the date?
A client of mine wanted me to talk to him.
What's your client's name?
Lyon.
Short little guy with pop eyes?
Yes.
Well, what do you make of this, Miss Marlin? Lyons was the boy who reported Valentino's death.
When was this?
About 11 o'clock.
Can I talk to Lyons?
Why?
Well, if Valentino was murdered...
Oh, who says it was murder?
Well, I assume...
That's not safe, sweetheart. In this racket, you never assume anything unless you can prove it. But from what I've seen of Mr. Lyons, I wish you luck.
Sergeant, I've told you everything I possibly could.
Not everything, Lyons. Why didn't you mention you hired Miss Marlin here to find Valentino?
I didn't think it was important. You see, a few hours after I left her office, I thought of looking in the phone book.
Why didn't you notify me?
I figured you'd be gone for the day. Anyway, I wanted to see Valentino before he got wind I was looking for him.
Why?
I had a business deal for him.
Yet Valentino told me you wanted to kill him.
The guy was nuts. I ask you, would any sane person do what he did?
And what was that, Lyon?
Well, he lived on the top floor of an old brownstone. When he saw me coming up the stairs, he ran up to the roof.
He was trying to get away from you?
Yeah, but for one reason. Or rather, for no reason at all. I followed him up to the roof, yelling I just wanted to talk to him. But he kept on running. As he got to the edge of the roof...
You pushed him over.
No. His feet got tangled in a clothesline.
What?
That's right. One end of the line was tied to the chimney. The other end was laying there in the shape of a noose. That's what caught Valentino and caught his feet in. Before he could regain his balance, he fell over.
How far did he drop?
About 2 stories. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Well, that's how we found him.
Just a second. How tall is this building?
5 stories.
Then how come he only fell 2?
You'd better explain that, Lyons.
Well, the rope wasn't long enough for him to fall any further, so he was yanked short in midair.
Then how did he die?
His head banged the window ledge on the 3rd floor.
Is that possible, Sergeant?
And I see the flash of the streak of lightning now in front of our soldier of the afternoon who hasn't tried so far but is now trying for $617. That's James Hughes. And what do you find wrong with this?
Well, if he was hanging by his heels and his head hit the window ledge, why, his coat and pants would be covered with blood.
Well, I think you absolutely hit it right on the nose, soldier from Grove City, Pennsylvania, James Hughes. And, of course, there's $617 that goes to you for winning the Hellgrove Survey. As James Hughes just told us, Valentino never could have died in the manner described by Arthur Lyons. We heard that there was blood all over Valentino's coat and trousers. Yet, had he hung head down, which he had to, since the rope was around his feet, no blood from his skull fracture could possibly have run up to and all over his trousers. And the police sergeant pointed out that there were no other wounds on the body. Consequently, Valentino must have met his death from a blow on the head while he was in a normal position, and then Lyons pitched him off the roof head first. Well, that was certainly great work, James Hughes. And Martha Vickers, it was certainly a real thrill having you with us today.
I enjoyed every minute of it, Ken. And say, who's going to set the stage in next week's mystery puzzle?
One of radio's all-time favorites will pay us a return visit next Sunday. He's our mutual favorite and neighbor, Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow.
Well, Ken, you've got yourself a listener.
Thank you, Martha. And between now and then, we'd suggest that everyone be on the lookout for Martha Vickers' latest Warner Brothers release, That Way with Women. Now, thanks again, Martha Vickers. And before we leave you, for the day. We want to take advantage of these few moments to talk to James Hughes just a moment. James, I see that you're in the Army. Of course, everybody who's here with us today can see that. You didn't speak up all during the program. This is the first word we've had from you, but you spoke up at the most propitious moment, winning $617 for yourself. Were you waiting for this moment?
Well, kind of.
Are you usually so expert at mysteries?
Well, I like mysteries a lot, and I could usually solve yours on the air pretty well.
You can?
Yes.
And have you been able to solve them during the past 4 weeks when they weren't solved?
Well, I haven't had much chance to listen to it.
During the past 4 weeks you hadn't? Well, it's a good thing you weren't here the past 4 weeks. They'd have been solved then, too, I suppose. Where are you from, James?
I'm from Grove City, Pennsylvania.
Grove City, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And how long have you been in the Army?
I've been in about 6 months now.
6 months? And what did you do before you joined?
I was going to college.
To college? And what would you be getting out of the Army soon, do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know? Have you made any plans to do with what you're going to do with yourself when you do get out of the Army?
Well, of course, go back to college.
Back to college?
That's right.
What college is that, James?
Grove City. It's in Grove City, Pennsylvania.
In Grove City, Pennsylvania. Well, you just won $617, and I don't know if you expected to win it when you came here. I don't know if you have any plans as yet, but what do you think you're going to be doing with that money?
Hard to say.
Hard to say? Well, we certainly hope you use it to very good advantage and maybe help you get through school when you do get out of the Army. We want to thank you for being with us today, offer you our congratulations, and also our congratulations to our other contestants who won today, too. Nancy Graham, George Blumenthal, and Mrs. Wasik, who did win $82 and a Helbros watch. Thank you all for being with us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that winds up our Christmas Flash program for today. Be with us next week at the same time when our guest detective in the Helbros Derby will be The Shadow. Until then, this is Ken Roberts saying goodbye for Helbros and suggesting that you ensure your own as well as your country's future by buying another savings bond quick as a flash. Quick as a Flash is produced by Proctor and Lewis, written by Gene Wang, directed by Richard Lewis. Next week, Quick as a Flash's guest detective, Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. So why not tune in a half hour earlier and catch both programs? Don't forget your best bet, The Shadow, and Quick as a Flash. The Red Cross carries on for veterans, for military hospitals, and for all communities in time of disaster. You can help by giving generously right now. This is Cy Harris speaking for Helbros, H-E-L-B-R-O-S, Helbros, the correct watch for the correct time. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.